Okay. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. That being said, before we go any further, of course, let's take a few moments. And today is going to be critical on 1 John 1:9. So when you do your 1 John 1:9, really try to honestly think about the sins that you've committed. You might be in fellowship right now, I don't know. But genuinely do. I know you can't remember all of them, but take advantage of the time and let's make sure we're filled so this isn't a waste of time this next hour. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for just another day of your grace that you have us in your plan and you thought of us, humans, that you sent your Son here to die for us on that cross, that all we have to do is just believe in him and have eternal salvation. We pray that this evening you'll help us to keep our minds focused on the truth that is in your word that you've revealed to us so graciously, that helps us to go through this cosmos system without being upset, but rather we can be happy because of what you've written to us. We pray that you will continue to be with Cliff over in Taiwan and help him as he's dealing with jet lag and, you know, a possible typhoon coming. Pray that you'll just help him over there and that you'll get him back to us safely. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Update on Cliff, if anybody doesn't know. Terry said he's fine. They made it. Long trip. I know some of y'all, like you said, have been to Egypt and have done that long trip. I've never done something like that. It's got to be crazy. So Cliff's doing good. I think he got there and went to sleep and had 5 hours of sleep and then got up and went right back to work. And he told Terry on the phone that a typhoon was coming in. She said it rained 3 inches here. Yeah. She said it, hey Brandon. She said it rained 3 inches here on the phone to him and he goes, yeah, well, we got a typhoon coming. Like Keegan said, he had to one-up her. And the thing is, he didn't tell her how long until the typhoon was coming or nothing, just left her hanging. So talk about faith rest and depending on doctrine. So keep Cliff in your prayers over there for sure. Anybody hear about the recent holiday case in Florida or get the email about the holiday? Okay. In Florida, an atheist created a case against an upcoming Easter and Passover holidays. He hired an attorney to bring a discrimination case against Christians and Jews and observances of their holy days. The argument was that it was unfair that atheists had no such recognized days. The case was brought before a judge. After listening to the passionate presentation by the lawyer, the judge banged his gavel, declaring case dismissed. The lawyer immediately stood up, objecting the ruling, saying, "Your Honor, how can you possibly dismiss this case? The Christians have Christmas, Easter, and others. The Jews have Passover, Hanukkah, yet my client and all other atheists have no such holidays." The judge leaned forward in his chair and said, "But you do. Your client, counsel, is woefully ignorant." The lawyer said, "Your Honor, we are unaware of any special observances or holidays for atheists." The judge said, "The calendar says April 1st is April Fool's Day. Psalm 14:1 states that the fool says in his heart there is no God. Thus, it is the opinion of this court that if your client says there is no God, then he is a fool. Therefore, April 1st is his day. Court is adjourned." You read that one on email? You
got...
Yeah, well, it's because I guess this was, you know, right before. It says you got to love a judge that knows the scripture.
Yeah.
And so now we all need to put that one to memory. Psalm 14:1. Okay, I didn't have that one memorized until I read this. And I got this morning from my good friend in New Braunfels. I don't know if this is legit, just to be on the record. But it's good. It's good to hear. Whether or not it's legit, I don't know. I would doubt it. But it might be. So just thought y'all should do that. I'm not just saying that for any reason, though, either. There's two areas that I covered last time when I was teaching here of domains on this world. Okay, you've got the domain of darkness, and you got the domain of light, right? This is where non-believers are at, and this is where we are at. These are the two domains. Now, those atheists are over here, of course, in the domain of darkness. They haven't been enlightened yet. They don't know any truth, right? We're over here in light. Now, today we're not going to focus on these two spheres, but we're going to break down this one into the two of the Christian walk. I know immediately most of y'all are probably thinking circles. That comes to your mind if you've been taught the circles before. Maybe not. Believers have two spheres, and we're going to look real quick on the TV at the circles diagram. Has anybody here not seen the circles diagram? Okay. Colonel R.B. Thieme, I believe, came up with the circles diagram, and it's really amazing diagram. This isn't too huge, but this is at the cross, the point of salvation when somebody believes in Jesus Christ. And so you immediately are put into both circles. Immediately. This top one is in Christ. We know what Romans 8:1 says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And this is permanent. You get the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this top one. That never goes away. You get the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. That never goes away. Right? You got the plus righteousness, the imputation of the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Therefore, we're justified because it doesn't have anything to do with us. And the eternal life is imputed to you, which for us becomes everlasting life because we were created. He's got eternal essence, and we get to join in that eternal essence of Him. But for us, it's everlasting because, you know, we join into that. We were created. He wasn't. This is permanent. You're in this bottom one too at the beginning, but this one is not permanent. Everything up here is permanent. This one down here, absolutely not. Matter of fact, probably not long you're in this bottom one after you believe. I believed 5 years ago, and I guarantee you, I was on the highway whenever I decided to believe in Jesus Christ. And I saw this truck in front of me with Matthew 4:19. And I, come follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. And I got the Bible from the seat and read it and believed. But it wasn't long after that I was on the highway. You know, I probably got irritated with somebody. And immediately, floop, went out of this bottom circle. When you, this is in the filling of the Holy Spirit, just so you know. You're filled immediately, but it's not permanent. And you go in over here, which is where your old sin nature takes over. And you're in a state of carnality, like we know of. There's two types of believers, carnal and a non-carnal, which is where most people mess up the Scriptures terribly. And I know y'all know that being an Austin Bible, but that's where a lot of the tough verses like Cliff teaching through 1 John is all about this subject matter. And we, when we're filled in this bottom one, through 1 John 1:9, confession of your sins. And that's acknowledging. Nowhere in the Bible does it say ask for forgiveness for your sins, by the way. You acknowledge them. Okay? This is a, when you come into this carnal state, you better self-evaluate yourself and realize most of the time we do something stupid before we realize that we were over in this state. And then I got a 1 John 1:9, and I got to get back in here with the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have happiness if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, period. Even if you're a Christian, you're in this top box. If you're over here, though, you're not experiencing plus H, which is sad because you're in Christ, you're not condemned, you have the righteousness of Christ, you even have the Holy Spirit in you, but there's no way you can be experiencing plus H happiness unless you're filled. Like us, we always take our time to be filled. And I'd say 99.9% of churches that you would go to today are not going to do 1 John 1:9 at the beginning of service, are they? So that's a waste of time. It's sad. And they're going there and they're sitting there the whole time. And it's just, it's a sad deal because they're not understanding anything because they think it's up to them, and it's not. It's the Holy Spirit that's teaching us. John 16, you get the Holy Spirit that teaches you. So the bottom circle is filled. So I have a question for y'all. Can you tell if somebody is filled or not?
No.
No. You can't. Can you tell if you're filled or not?
Yes.
Hopefully. Right at the moment you acknowledge, I'm sure at that point you can tell, yes.
There might be some
unconfessed
stuff that it's not brought to your attention.
Sure. You might be, you might not. If you take the time and you genuinely are before the Lord and you're acknowledging your sin, mm-hmm. and the ones that you can think of, those ones you can't, He's going to take care of.
Right.
That's why it says He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness in that end of that verse of 1 John 1:9. So, yeah, after you acknowledge, you can tell you're filled. But longer after that acknowledgement, it gets a little sketchy. So, I mean, don't be afraid. I think the way I was telling Michelle, at the beginning of a baby believer's life, they don't understand 1 John 1:9, right? Usually. But then if you're seeking with all your heart, you're going to find out 1 John 1:9. That's something that I was talking to Michelle about. Well, most people don't know 1 John 1:9. They're at a church that doesn't do 1 John 1:9. I question how much they're genuinely seeking the Lord and wanting to know the truth. Because if you're wanting to know the truth, He's going to teach you 1 John 1:9. He's going to teach you these things to where you can be filled and understand. So I'm seeing it as soon as you do find out about 1 John 1:9, you start doing it a lot more. And then you start reading the Bible more and you're understanding and you're saying, oh, this is not something I'm supposed to do. So then you're continually saying, I need a 1 John 1:9. I just did something I'm not supposed to do. So you're doing more 1 John 1:9. I was telling when I first figured out 1 John 1:9, I was doing 1 John 1:9 all the time. Especially once I started reading and realizing all the stuff I was doing wrong, I was continually 1 John 1:9. Even, you know, throughout my daily life today, you know, it's, I'm going to give you all a number, but it's, you know, there's days when I do it a lot and there's days when I don't. But the more you get to a state of reaching maturity, I think it's going to level off to where you're doing your 1 John 1:9. Then hopefully, where's it going to go? Hopefully, it's going to go down. If you reach a state of spiritual maturity, you're not going to be sinning as much. So your 1 John 1:9 should hopefully, once you reach maturity status, go down. But that doesn't mean it's ever going to go away. We know that. It's not. But just something you can think about with continually. It's a massive thing that we've got to do that a lot of people don't take advantage of. I've got some pictures that I want to see real quick. Okay, divine. We're going into today. It's divine domain versus cosmic compound. This is for believers, the two spheres. You're either in the divine domain or the cosmic compound. Divine domain is where we're at right now, all of us who confessed our sins. If we didn't do it genuinely, or since then sinned, or if somebody outside of here who's a Christian, they're in the cosmic compound. I'm going to show you some pictures of some people, and I want to see if you can tell if they're filled or not. Is she filled or not? Probably not, but we don't know. I see you don't know. But you see, it looks like what? Arrogance. Creature arrogance, right, Keegan? Is that... Well, she just looks like she's just not happy with the cosmos. I mean, she's got her business suit on. She was at work, and it got to her today.
Or airline stewardess.
Yeah, airline stewardess. Right? That guy keeps ordering something. But, well, we're not sure. Is she or not, right? I mean, we don't know. I would think not. We would think not. I mean, just using it. About this person. This is, look at the eyebrow. You know what that tells me? I know something you don't know.
She's English.
She's English. And she's got her cocktail. For those of you who are listening online, if you are, we're looking at pictures of people and seeing whether or not they're filled with the Spirit. We've got a woman in front of us with a martini glass right now, and her left eyebrow is up with her chin up in the air, very haughty.
But three-quarters of the way gone.
So perhaps she's dissipated with wine. That's a verse we'll get to in a little bit. What about this guy? Look at me. I got a nice suit. I'm smart. Look at my chin. I know what I'm doing in life. This is creature arrogance. This is not being filled. This could be a Christian. I doubt he's filled, but this could be a Christian. It's not like any of us don't get prideful. You know, I mean, when you start growing more in doctrine, and you see somebody who doesn't know doctrine, they come up to you and they do something that kind of you think is stupid. That's something that I struggle with. I'm like, that's stupid. And I sin. I wasn't gentle. I wasn't calm and patient, knowing that person was in the cosmos and just needed me to be gentle and patient and try to help them. So, you know, this is all of us. This is okay. What about that guy? Now, he looks like he's in a good mood. We don't know. He could be. You know, there's people I know that look just like this guy. There's people I know just like this guy. He's plotting. He does look a little sneaky. You're right.
He's passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive. What about this? What about this kid?
He's strangling.
Yeah, I really don't.
You know what? This kid reminds me of Evan. By the way, I think that's what Evan will look like when he gets older. I don't know. He just kind of looks like Evan to me.
The dog looks pretty happy.
Now that's what I said. The dog looks happy too. I told Michelle. I go, Michelle, look at the dog. Okay, so let's say this kid is a Christian. Would you think he's filled? Don't know. Okay, let's go to another one. Remember the dog in this one because you're going to see something in the next one. This dog looks happy.
Pharisee.
So now we've got a smug Pharisee cat. The Pharisees were what? The Pharisees were very haughty. And they knew their doctrine, at least Judaism. And Paul was one of these. Imagine that. Wrote most of the New Testament for us. And he was at once at this state. So just because you see somebody in this state doesn't mean the Lord can't just... The Word of God is... At the beginning I said the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. That was a double-edged sword that they mocked when they used... I think it was the Romans. And they mocked them for using that little... What's the Greek word? Machaira or something? Is Machaira? And they mocked them, the other forces, when they had that sword, the Greek word there, but they destroyed them because they were very quick with it and they could do things and rip them to pieces, just like the Word of God does. So we've got the Pharisee cat. Now we've got the self-righteous duck. And the chin is up and he's got the attitude. This is what people do too. I mean, this is just showing you what... So I was looking at it real closely because you got to inspect everything. I was looking at this when I was looking at it today. You know what it says? It says... Cats that look like Hitler.com.
Oh, no.
So guess what I had to do? Okay, now let's. I know this is humorous. I want us to make sure we do keep our focus. And I told Michelle that God gave us humor, so we can have humor. But let's still keep focus when we're studying. You know, we've got the divine domain here, and this is just pictures I saw, so I thought I'd be humorous a little bit with it. But look, he looks like Hitler. That's pretty. That one. Right? I don't know if Cliff's going to let me teach again now when he hears this. What? Are they going over? All right, so we got the Pharisee cat. We went through that. The Hitler cats. Question. Do you think Adolf Hitler was ever filled with the Holy Spirit? I like that answer. I don't know. He might have been at one moment. What about if somebody... Were you there when he died? Were we there when he died? What if somebody gave him the correct message when he right before he was about to pass away from this earth and he listened to it and he believed? Well, guess what? He was filled with the Spirit at that moment. And so he's going to heaven. I'm not saying Hitler is. You know, he did massive, horrible things to the Jews, and I would highly doubt it that Hitler is in heaven. I think if you ask me, he's probably burning in torments right now. But that's not... I don't know. So we can't say that we know these things. We have to be careful when we're looking at these different subject matters. I want to be clear with something. It's not any of your responsibility to judge others or mine. We cannot judge others. The Scriptures are clear on this matter. That's why I showed you these pictures for a reason. On when you're looking at other people, don't judge other people. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and we'll look at this subject matter. Matthew chapter 7. Starting with verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Beautiful, isn't it? And that's something that we need to really think about. There's a lot of doctrine in these first five verses. These are believers, first of all. They have to be. They can't read Scripture and understand it if they don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit in the first place. And that's one thing I've been talking to Michelle about. If it's not a gospel salvific message to save somebody, when a non-believer or a non-filled Christian is reading the Scriptures, if that Scripture they're reading doesn't have to do with the gospel message, they can't understand it. Right? You have to be saved and be filled to understand Scripture. Is this passage talking about saving somebody? Mm-mm. These are Christians that are not filled. These are carnal believers right now. So, do not judge so you will not be judged. This log in the eye, these are believers. So they know the Word of God. They've had it implanted within them. They've had the top circle, the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's a reason they said log and the splinter in the other person's eye, because you've got the Word of God on your side as a believer, and you know 1 John 1:9, and you know all these doctrines. So this is even more so that you should not be judging when you're not even filled in the first place. You need to take the log out of your eye, which is which doctrine? Rebound. 1 John 1:9. So you can clearly see what's going on spiritually. And you got to be in the divine domain, because these people were in the what? Cosmic compound. That's where they were at. So you got to be real careful not to judge. And we're quick to do that as humans. It's natural for all of us. We look at somebody else and we're like, oh, you got to fix this. We do it. I mean, I do it. We do that. But as we mature, and we're going to see it when we get here, to how do we get to a state of maturity to where we're not doing that as much. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Now, Paul is not afraid, and he never has been, when you read his writings, of stepping on your toes, is he? And that's good about the Word of God, because when you're sitting there, I know at Austin Bible and at Country Bible, we get our toes stepped on all the time. We appreciate it at doctrinal churches because we need it. If we go around and go to a happy-go-lucky church and never hear about hell or anything else, we're not getting stepped on, and so we're not really growing. So Paul here is going to step on our toes a little bit. Romans 2, starting with the very first verse. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? We'll stop there. So, who's doing the judging? Who's supposed to be doing the judging? God Almighty, not us. He's the one that knows it all. I think it's Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He's the judge. He's the Almighty judge. He knows our hearts. And He knows that person's heart that you're looking at. I'm not going to get into the doctrine of when the correct time to reprove somebody is tonight. There is times where you can, out of love, sincere love, tell somebody that maybe perhaps there's a scripture you know about that could help them, where you're not judging them. And it's a fine line. Immediately we want to go towards just judging. And if you want that, give me your email afterwards and I'll email it to you, because I was reading it today and it's really good on when is the appropriate time and how to do it, to talk to somebody without being judgmental. Stay in Romans and flip forward to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And we'll look at verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. This is in reference to who being the judge? The Lord. The Lord is the judge. The same thing that Paul said earlier in the book, of the Lord is the judge, so don't take it upon yourselves, because we like to do that. So we got to be careful when we're talking to other people with the aspect of judging. What I'm going to read real quick here is called the doctrine of the long proboscis. Does anybody here know what the word proboscis means? If you do, you get major brownie points. Who knows that? It's a Greek word. Proboscis means nose. So the doctrine of the long proboscis. You know where it's going. The doctrine of the long nose. Nosy and critical persons are generally miserable because of their mental attitude sins. They're nosy into other people's business. Nosy and critical persons usually have a deep-seated approbation or an ego lust in their own soul. In other words, they want to be recognized, and they can't be recognized in the normal channels of life, so they have to be maligners in order to get attention. This is believers. While ruining their own lives through legalism, they are generally bullies trying to impose their false standards on others. Earlier we were talking about legalism, right? It's all over the place. It's rampant. Perseverance of the saints, they just jump on each other's toes all the time. Such believers are easily recognized. They are never relaxed, and generally, they are troublemakers. The colonel wrote this. You can tell whenever you read that. You're not afraid of saying it. And that's true. They're not relaxed because they're it said they have torment in their own soul, and so they're not relaxed, and they're looking for other people to say what's wrong with you to make themselves feel better. It's a self-arrogance. Such believers are always running after some experience by which they can either sublimate or contend that they are better than others. In other words, they contend that they are better than others on the basis of experience. I've done it better than you, so I'm better, and that sort of thing. It's self-righteousness like the duck we saw. with a nose in the air, with a chin in the air. We're going to focus on our own spiritual life tonight and look at our own spiritual life. All of us individually, we got the priesthood, so we'll look at it. What is the objective of your spiritual life? Yours. It's to glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. We've got to glorify Jesus Christ, but in your body. How come that's difficult? The old sin nature. Paul goes extensively into it. It's the war of the old sin nature in your flesh against the the law of the mind in Christ, of using that. It's difficult. So the objective in our spiritual life is to glorify God in our bodies, which is not easy to do, even as Christians who are reaching a status of maturity. So let's find out exactly how we should do that, glorify God in our body. I'll start with a question for you. Who's responsible for maintaining the fellowship and growth with God? Yeah. Me. You. Individually, we're responsible for your own fellowship and growth with God. There's no excuses. So-and-so did it. So-and-so maybe did this. It's individually all up to each one of us. So whether or not you're going to get to a status of pleroma and maturity is up to you. You've been given the top circle, the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. So there is no excuse. It's up to you and your spiritual life. You, and only you. Does that color find out? Yeah, that color does work. I used red one time at Country Bible Church. It didn't show up at all. So that color looks good. Dock that to memory. So it's up to us individually. One thing I want y'all to be clear about, just because you are born again does not mean that you will have a relationship with God. A lot of people don't like to hear that one. We're reconciled. Obviously, when you believe in Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean you're going to have a relationship. 99% of people out there, do they have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm talking about Christians. No. They're not experientially being sanctified. This is sad. We're living in this world where all of us sitting in here and have these neon letters out front, just like these. And how many people are coming here? You know? They're going to come if we keep praying and keep growing and this becomes a lampstand and Cliff standing up here, keep teaching that word and doing the 1 John 1:9 and let's keep praying for people to come here. You showed up. Did you see the sign?
No.
You invited her? Good. And that's another thing. That's a key point. Invite others to this study. We want to grow and get a lampstand. I know a lot of people here are really wanting that to occur, and it could be a great location for one. So we need to pray for that and invite people to come here. So just because you're born again does not mean that you will have a relationship with God. I want to be clear on this. You are a royal family member when you believe in Jesus Christ. We know that. You do have eternal security in the top circle. You're not losing it. You're not going to hell. You might have to go to the divine woodshed and get slapped around a little bit by the Lord, but that's good. A parent that doesn't discipline his children, I question their parenting, personally. And I see parents that don't do it. And it's sad when a kid is running rampant all over their parent, and you want to go over there and you want to say, straighten up, little kid. But then I'm impeding upon the divine institution. I'll go carnal, and I'll impede upon the divine institution of a family, won't I? I'll go over there and impede when it's not my place to do so. So stay out of other people's business. It's hard to do. We want to naturally. We want to just go over there and do it. Think about your own family in this relational aspect. Is there somebody in your own personal family? I don't want anything out loud because we'd all be yelling. There's somebody in your family biologically that you're kin to that you don't necessarily get along with, or that you really don't have a liking for, or that you don't have an experiential relationship with. You're biologically attached to them. You're in the top circle. Sorry. But you're not really experiential with that person. I've got it in my family. You know, everybody can think of somebody. That helps you to associate with what I'm saying. It doesn't mean you're going to have a relationship. So we got to continually, it's up to you individually to do it. It's not, God is always faithful. And that's why the Colonel's last book was called The Unfailing Love of God. Anybody read it yet? Get it. So good. I'm going to read a portion out of it here in a little bit. It talks about He's always faithful. That's who He is. That's why He sent Jesus Christ here. But are we going to 1 John 1:9 and try to read our Bibles and get into a relationship with Him? Okay, Cliff is going over James 4, so let's go there and we'll tie this in. James 4, and we'll look at James 4:8. He just went over this one last week. It's a good scripture. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Who's the responsibility up to? Us. Look how many times you is in there. Draw near you, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's up to us to take care of it. He's going to be there and love on us. It's who He is. He's awesome. I highlighted these on purpose. Cliff mentioned it last time. A little pop quiz. Why did I highlight those? What's significant about those words? They're in what mood? The imperative. It's imperative mood. These are commands. They're all three of these are in the imperative mood. So that you're. This is a command by the Lord. Not like, oh, maybe. No, you got to do it because the Lord commanded us to do it. So draw, cleanse, and purify. All the verbs that are in the imperative mood. So these are commands that we can't just take lightly. Look down. This is just a preview for when Cliff does get back. If you'll look down a little bit further in your Bible, you don't have to do it right now, but I think it's the 10th or 11th verse. It starts talking about judging. He's talking to people who are having problems with drawing near and cleansing themselves and purifying. So guess what these believers that James are writing to are doing? Judging. And that's, I know Cliff's going to get into that extensively and go through it categorically, which is love how he does that. But that's what happens when you don't do these things, is you're going to judge like we talked about earlier. So it worked out perfect that that's later on in James when Cliff is going to get there. Speaking of imperatives in the imperative mood, where is the imperative to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What verse is that? We all know it. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? That's in the imperative mood. So you've got to do it. That's the B. That's the second part of the verse. But that's in the imperative mood also, that you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember our objective. We've got to keep our objective in mind here. In the divine domain, there's two parts. What's the objective of your spiritual life that you're responsible for? To glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Absolutely have to. That's, I believe, 1 Corinthians 6:20. You write that one down. I'm not sure, but I believe that's what it is. How do we do that, though? It's not easy, is it? All of us are going on this cosmos, and all of us sin. And then when you do sin, you're like, dang it. And you feel guilty. Then you sinned again. And then you 1 John 1:9, and right after you 1 John 1:9 and you're filled, then you have guilt again about what you don't need to. Forget it. The Lord forgot it, so you forget it. And stay filled so that we can really glorify Him in our body and not let that old sin nature take over. All right, I'm going to read a part of the Colonel's Unfailing Love of God. Order it off of the rbtheme.org. All of his stuff is free grace, just like Country Bible and Austin Bible, the way it should be, the way the Bible tells us to do it. We're not going to try to make a lot of money off people. People need the truth, and the Lord's going to provide for it. And this was wonderful. And this is dealing with the subject matter we're talking about right now. The objective of the unique spiritual life. Ephesians 3:19 says the following, "And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." The Greek word pleroma, translated the fullness of God, is the result of comprehending and utilizing the four dimensions of the spiritual life, which if you want to know what they are, go get this book. They're amazing. Pleroma is the high ground of spiritual maturity, where the winner believer is occupied with the person of Jesus Christ continually. All of your thoughts are captive to Jesus Christ. He now enjoys the highest possible function in the spiritual life. In pleroma status, he receives maximum escrow blessings and glorifies God in his body. 1 Corinthians 6:20. God has given a clear objective for the church age, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. To know the love of Christ. This is crucial. This is what the Colonel's whole book was about here. Only through the inculcation of Bible doctrine and advancing to the high ground can you develop the capacity to truly love God. Once this has been accomplished, you can use that capacity to reciprocate the love of God has shown to you. So then you do what? You reciprocate it to other people. But you can't do it unless you have the capacity of growing up in Bible doctrine. Can you really truly love somebody else? It doesn't have to be personal love. There's people that I don't like, and I have impersonal love towards them. And I know we can all think about that. There is a difference between feeling grateful, which is a fleeting emotion, and being grateful, which is a consistent mental attitude of appreciation and thanksgiving from advancing in your spiritual life that you're responsible for. Only when you love God can you exercise impersonal love toward all mankind. And that's crucial. It's hard to exercise that impersonal love. But the more you love God, you're going to find it to become easier. With personal love for God and impersonal love for all mankind, then you share in the happiness of God, plus H, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. How in the world can I have impersonal love for a person that really irritates me? That's the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. You realize your own personal sense of destiny in this plan, and in this pleroma status, you are occupied with Christ, and you can glorify Him to the maximum, which is what you're supposed to do in your spiritual life, right? You're supposed to glorify Him. It's good. I highly suggest that book, The Unfailing Love of God. The love for the brethren can't happen unless you have... We can't. All of us sitting here can't truly love each other unless we have a good love for God. So thank God we really do love each other, because a lot of us in here have good... We're maturing. We're getting to the pleroma status by being here tonight and studying and on Sundays when we actually get the doctrine. So there is true love within this room between all of us. And we've got to keep growing that way, especially if this becomes a lampstand. All right. Here we go. You got the divine domain versus the cosmic compound. Two places that you can be as a believer. You can either be residing in here, in this beautiful, wonderful castle, or you can be over here in this little shack on the bottom over here. The cosmic compound. This is a believer's live over here. This is where 99% of them are at, right? The cosmic compound. Who's the foundation for both of these places? Jesus Christ. He's the foundation even for the ones that are in the cosmic compound, which is hard to imagine, but He is. They're going to heaven. But they're in the cosmic compound. Now, the question is, how do you get in there? Right above the door, it says what? Rebound. It's a rebound. 1 John 1:9. That's your access into this palatial palace. Go look at the word palatial. I bet some of y'all know what it is. But I heard it the other day. I was like, what's palatial? It means it's magnificent beyond belief. Like when I went over to y'all's house, that's it's like palatial. You know, you go in there like, man, that's beautiful. You know, you see people's homes. And you're like, there's a person at Country Bible Church, Mary Morgan. We went over her house and it's like, man, this is awesome. This is where you could live and reside in this. Now, you go into floor number 1 through 1 John 1:9. And by the grace of God, guess what? There's an escalator on going up to floor number 2 automatically. So you automatically go up to floor number 2, which is, guess what floor number 2 is? The filling of the Holy Spirit. So you 1 John 1:9 to get on floor 1, which automatically transfers you up to the second floor. And guess what? You have a higher view of the cosmos world that we live in than this little shack ever had. And so that's you discern the thoughts between good and evil. You know, I know this is it's an interesting viewpoint to get you to understand it, but you're at a higher level on the cosmos, and then you can discern between good and evil as you're walking through, and you can apply doctrine. We're not going to go past floor 2 today. Next week we'll go further and try to look at it. Has anybody studied these floors, by the way, before? No? They're really good. They're never seen it before? Okay. This is going in there into the divine domain. Now, there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about with this divine domain. There's a better picture of the cosmic compound, so you can see it. This is where the believers who aren't 1 John 1:9-ing and are just going about the world with their own gnosis, thinking that they understand the world at all. And there's a little buzzard up there looking at it. And you know what's funny? Even though they're in here, they have a TV. See the antenna? Well, see, there's an antenna because where is the junk coming from in our world now? The cosmos TV. It's a TV, you know, leave it off. If you want to watch the Horns game or something else, that's, you know, that's cool. But, I mean, just keep all that other stuff off, you know. But this is they got a TV because they're continually taking in this cosmos information. They can't take in Bible doctrine because they're not filled with the Spirit. They haven't gone into the palatial palace. So they're just perpetually living in there, you know, no AC, no heat, nothing.
They can't even keep the door up.
They can't even keep the door up, right? Now look at this. One thing, I don't know if any of y'all noticed, this picture isn't very big. Don't think you're all high and mighty if you're in the palatial palace, because there's a little chute right here. See that little chute? What does it take to get shot down into this one? One single sin. One sin. That's it. And then you went out of the divine domain and you went into the cosmic compound. Those who are listening on the internet, if you're lost, we're looking at a visual of a huge castle and a little shack. I'm sure you picked up on that. There's a little chute down here where no matter where you're at in here, one sin, and it automatically shoots you down over here into the cosmic compound. So then there you're at. You're in a bad news bearer situation. Like chutes and ladders. And you know another thing is? Guess what? This is levels of maturity. What we did was we took that bottom circle When you got saved at the cross and you had your top circle, which is permanent, and your bottom circle, which you were filled with the Holy Spirit, we're taking that bottom circle and then we're looking at it vertically to how do you grow once you're in that bottom circle? How do you grow up spiritually? First of all, 1 John 1:9, automatically, escalator takes you to the second floor. You're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're advancing onto the high ground of pleroma, where you can actually discern between good and evil. Your ultimate objective, glorify God in your body by getting up here to the penthouse. This is the penthouse. I want that view personally. When I'm walking around this is a crazy planet that we live on. None of us are joked by that. We see it every day. We're in it. If you're up here in the penthouse continually, you've got a view that's better than anything else on this world because you've got Bible doctrine resident in your soul. And so when any kind of a situation arises, it doesn't bother you. This is plus H over here. Your happiness when you're in the divine domain, and this is worth writing down, your happiness is not derived from your circumstances. Period. And over here, these people are constantly, whatever circumstance hits their way, I just got a raise, I'm happy. That's not true happiness. That's a cosmos happiness. Okay? If you want true plus H, you're over here in the palatial palace, and your total, by the way, the penthouse, floor number 10, I'll give you a preview, occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're occupied, your mind is captive to the Lord Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ, which is the Bible. In Romans 12:2, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you completely keep getting Bible doctrine in your soul and you're up here, that's the palatial palace penthouse where you're occupied with all your thoughts. And that's when you are going down on that level of having a 1 John 1:9 because you're not sinning as much, which is a great thing. But guess what? The higher you are, it's hard fall. There's many good doctrinal people, pastors, who have been up here and were residing here, abiding in Christ and He in you, and made a bad, bad, bad decision, right? And whoosh, major fall. Congregation ripped apart, torn up. So don't think that when we get in here, we get that chin up attitude of the self-righteous duck, whoever you are, because, and you know what? Once you're maturing, I don't think that's less people do that because you have Bible doctrine to apply towards your circumstances in the cosmic compound. Look at the little path. That's the road of self-evaluation. Remember, do not judge others, but you're responsible for your own spiritual life. So when you're taking this path, I mean, these people in this little cosmic compound shack, they can wander on that little road, but they can't go into that door until they've what? Humble. You got to come to a state of humility while you're on this earth and say, I am wrong. It's not up to me, it's up to the Lord. I sinned, I'm going to acknowledge it like He told me to, and I'm going to get into the palatial palace and glorify Him since He even let me have this life anyways. And that's what more people need to do, but sadly they're over here in this cosmic compound. This is not a good place to be. Okay, we've got the divine domain, which is I've made it empty on purpose so you can't see the floors, but there's 10 levels in this system. It's all doctrinal, you know, it's of what you're supposed to do, and you rebound, fill with the Holy Spirit, and then we'll get to floor number 3 next time. But ultimately, hopefully, we'll get to occupation with Jesus Christ. That's where we all want to be. Maybe some of us here are already there. I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I mean, I don't think I'm there by far. I mean, I'm constantly going down to that shack. So we're going to have to work on that as we do it. One thing I wanted to make clear here is what I said earlier. Living in the divine domain means that your life is not dependent on your circumstances. And that's something that I know y'all deal with the world and I deal with the world, and when we're out there and it's hard to do. This is not something I want to just gloss over. When you're experiencing this world and something hits you in the face that isn't so nice, are you going to focus on Jesus Christ and the doctrine that's in your soul? Or are you going to let that circumstance bring you down? I know that in the prayer study, there's some massive things that are going on with people right here. And that's a circumstance. But their happiness is not derived from that circumstance. It's from focus on Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing where we can go through this world and not have to do that because of what Christ did for us. And it all goes back to Him and not us. You know, and we're not legalistic here. We know that it's by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast and become arrogant. So this next week, we're going to go through the cosmic compound a little more and the divine domain, and we're going to go over a little more in depth on floor number one and floor number two, and perhaps touch on floor three, because Cliff's not here next week too. He's in Taiwan. They've got to keep him there another week. He's got a lot of work to do. Make sure you do keep Cliff in your prayers. There is a typhoon heading his way, and that's something we really need to pray about. And, you know, if he's the pastor teacher, if this place becomes a local lampstand, we want him safe and getting back here, obviously. So keep him in your prayers, because the prayers of the saints are definitely heard. We're out of time. We're not out of time, but we're done with what I wanted to go over tonight, so I'm not going to try to slam anything in here, because I want us to just focus on what we did go over tonight and really try to apply it throughout this week in your lives of thinking about being in that divine domain and not in the cosmic compound, and continually 1 John 1:9-ing and being in both circles. You're already in the top, but being that bottom one continually, so that we can be witnesses towards other people, because they're looking right at us. We're the ones with doctrine. There's not many of us. We're the remnant. So try to do that as much as possible this week. Be happy with your plus H in that palatial palace and enjoy the heck out of it until the rapture happens. You know, because you can have plus H in all circumstances, which is so amazing that we can do that. Let's close. Father, we're so thankful that you've given all these magnificent doctrines to us, and that we can focus upon you and your word and not this this world that you've placed us in, because we're not of this world. We know our citizenship is in heaven. Thanks to you and your Son Jesus Christ for coming here. We want to say thanks for you giving us the Holy Spirit and his ministry in our lives of teaching us all of these doctrines. We pray that you'll help us with the Holy Spirit through us to help us to apply these doctrines and not go into that cosmic compound, but to continually reside in you, so that we can grow up spiritually, try to reach that high ground of pleroma, and ultimately glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just want to say thank you for everything you do for us here at this Bible study and for giving us a Bible study here. We pray that if you want this to become a local lampstand, that you will lead it down that path, that you would give Cliff and Terry conviction on if that's what you want them to do. And for all of us who are here, underneath the teaching here, that you would convict us on if that's something that we feel we want to be here on and doing. But it's got to be up to you and not up to us. And we pray that you'll help us as we go throughout this week to just continually stay focused on you and to pick up our Bibles each day to learn more about you and glorify you because of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Backwards hurricane headed to
him. Is that what it is? A backwards hurricane?
You just circulate
in the opposite direction. Now, Taipan, is that the capital of Taiwan? Is that? I know you said that. Is that where he's at? Taipan?
I'm not sure.
Taipan?
It's Taipan.
Taipan?
Pan?
I don't even know where Taiwan is over there in Asia. Where is it at?
It's right, borders China.
It borders China? Where at?
India.
Is it over by Vietnam on the southeast side or something?
I think it's on the south side.
South side.
Yeah, it's on the south side.
That's crazy. He's
got water.
Well, it has to. It's
backwards. It's backwards. It's got the tomato.